Hello, welcome to the Monday, May 13th, 2013 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Jacksonville, Florida. We got an interesting diary by Lenny Seltzer this weekend about extracting digital signatures from signed malware. Probably some of the more interesting malware samples are signed, and one of the important issues when you pull out the digital signatures is to find other malware that uses, for example, the same certificates. Lenny's talking about a couple of tools that can be used to accomplish that. The one that I find most helpful and easiest to use is a DISI tool. DISI tool, or digital signature tool, comes from Didier Stevens, and it just reads the PE file, so the Windows executable, and then saves the signature if you specify the extract option in a DR formatted file. These DR formatted files are, well, a standard signature or certificate files. So with that, you can now use, for example, OpenSSL to further investigate the file and, for example, retrieve the text representation of the certificate. For example, what is the common name that was used in the certificate and other details. So that's what you then want to use, for example, as part of an indicator of compromise, to find other files in your environment that use the same signature. Now, these tools come pre-installed with the Remnux Linux distribution that is targeting reverse engineering of a malware. But if you're in a Windows environment, then you also have the sign tool and the sigject tool that can accomplish similar tasks. However, then of course you have to figure out how to script them on Windows. And some new controversy about iDevices and Apple possibly being able to decrypt locked iPhones and iPads based on law enforcement requests. Based on a court filing, there is apparently a waiting list for law enforcement to ask Apple to decrypt confiscated devices, but it's not really clear how Apple is accomplishing this. Apple devices are encryptable. The entire disk is encrypted in this case. In order to accomplish this, the device creates a random key, and then that key is encrypted using the user's password. That's why it's, for example, important to pick a fairly difficult to crack a password to lock your device. Now, the decryption of these devices would imply that Apple has some kind of backdoor or another way to decrypt the key. For example, that it's also decrypted with some kind of a fixed password or something like that, that would give Apple access to the key if law enforcement asks it to. Overall, that's not a huge surprise. A lot of countries, for example, require such a backdoor in order to allow the sale of the devices. If you remember last year, for example, BlackBerry had some issues in India over this kind of backdoor that BlackBerry initially didn't want to provide. Google, by the way, does something similar. Based on law enforcement requests, Google is able to reset the password. However, in that case, the legitimate user of the device may also get a copy of the reset request. For example, if you link that via SMS to your cell phone, you may also receive that SMS message if you still have that cell phone that indicates that someone else took over your account. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. If there is some kind of backdoor, some kind of a secret password, that of course would put iDevices at risk, because anybody who via a breach or some kind of employee indiscretion would be able to gain access to that method would have access to all iDevices worldwide. On the other hand, there's also a chance that this just refers to the iCloud backups of the device. In that case, these backups are not password protected in Apple's iCloud. And of course, Apple could provide law enforcement access to these images by essentially just giving them the password or resetting the user's password for the iCloud account. And last week I talked about how serious the cold fusion vulnerability is that became known last week. Turns out it apparently has already been used to breach the Washington State court database and steal 160,000 social security numbers. So if you're running Cold Fusion, take a serious look at Adobe's hardening guide for Cold Fusion. It's supposed to mitigate this issue. Also on Tuesday, with Adobe's patch Tuesday, apparently we will get a patch for the Cold Fusion vulnerability. The official pre-announcement from Adobe only mentioned a PDF reader, but as part of the announcement of this vulnerability, Adobe indicated that we should also see a patch for the Cold Fusion vulnerability on Tuesday. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.